I'm going to be reading this morning from Galatians 4, 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. This week after Christmas is always kind of a letdown kind of week. There's so much excitement and anticipation coming up to Christmas, and then Christmas comes and goes, and all the wrapping paper gets thrown away, and everybody gets through eating, and everything's just kind of anticlimactic after that. So it's kind of a big letdown. We get back to our normal everyday life. Of course, we probably wind up with a few extra bills, a few extra pounds maybe. There's some unknown author, a lady, who wrote a little poem kind of talking about this time of year. She says, 'Twas the week after Christmas and all through the house. Nothing would fit me, not even a blouse. The cookies I'd nibbled, the eggnog I'd taste, at the holiday parties had gone to my waist. When I got on the scales, there arose such a number. When I walked to the store, less a walk than a lumber. I'd remember the marvelous meals I'd prepared, the gravies and sauces and beef nicely reared, the bread and the cheese, and the way I'd never said, no thank you please. As I dressed myself in my husband's old shirt and prepared once again to do battle with dirt, I said to myself, as only I can, you can't spend a winter disguised as a man. So away with the last of the sour cream dip, get rid of the fruitcake, every cracker and chip, every last bit of food that I like must be vanished. I won't have a cookie, not even a lick. I'll only chew on a long celery stick. I won't have hot biscuits or cornbread or pie. I'll munch on a carrot and quietly cry. I'm hungry, I'm lonesome, and life is a bore. But isn't that what January is for? Unable to giggle, no longer a riot. Happy New Year to all, and to all a good diet. That kind of just puts the whole thing in a nutshell. And it's kind of a funny thing, something we can look at and laugh at and just enjoy the fact that Christmas is over with and we got another 360 days, I guess, pretty close, till the next one comes up. And it's odd that New Year's Eve falls on a Sunday. Doesn't happen very often, just like Christmas Eve not often falls on Sunday. But that is what today is. It's New Year's Eve, and we're, some of us, maybe looking forward to a New Year's Eve party, a gathering of friends and family, or some of us just stay up and watch the TV and watch the ball fall in Times Square and just whatever we do. Bill Vaughn made the statement that youth is when you're allowed to stay up late on New Year's Eve. Middle age is when you're forced to. And some of us will watch New Year's Eve or New Year's come in. And he says, I love it when they drop the ball in Times Square because it's a nice reminder of what I did all year. Some of us may have dropped the ball on time or two or doing things that we did. It happens. Life happens. We don't always get everything right. But it's always good to look back on the previous year and the things that we've done or maybe didn't quite get done and anticipate what we would like to accomplish in the upcoming year. And we think about how God kind of wipes the slate clean and we start out fresh. And we can kind of do that on New Year's. We wipe the slate clean and start out fresh. It's all kind of a new beginning. We make our New Year's resolutions and have our big plans and all those things. There's a Peanuts comic strip, Lucy walking along the road with Charlie Brown. And Charlie asks Lucy, he says, Lucy, how are you going to make any New Year's resolutions? Of course, Lucy, being the way she is, she hollers back at him, knocking him off his feet. What? What for? What's wrong with me now? I like myself the way I am. Why should I change? What in the world is the matter with you, Charlie Brown? I'm all the right way, am I? I don't have to improve. How could I improve? How? How? We all know some Lucys that think they are just perfect the way they are. They're not going to change anything, not going to make any New Year's resolutions. Things are just what they are. It's been said that the five most given resolutions are personal finances, losing weight, stop smoking, becoming more physically fit, and improve personal relationships. Some folks, we hope, may decide to attend church more faithfully. We can always hope. The thing is that after the first week, about 25% of the resolutions just kind of go by the wayside. After a month, about half have given up. And as you go through the year, more and more people just kind of forget about that resolution that they made. But even if we think about those resolutions we might like to make, it puts perspective on our lives, how change might happen. Change is one of those things that's never easy. People like to think about change as long as nothing's different. And that's kind of how it is. Paul lets us know that time passes. And he's talking about how when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Paul talks about those things, reminds us that time passes, that when things happen, they happen because that is the time for them to happen. God's timing is always perfect. Sometimes we wonder when things are going to happen, but God's timing is always perfect. So in the fullness of time, God sent his son. So everything happens the way it's supposed to. And Paul wants to remind us that everything happens when it's supposed to. He talks about the fullness of time and how we have things to happen. But sometimes we don't think about time past, those friends that we had that we may not remember or we might remember and haven't seen in years. Author Calvin Miller talks about how he visited an old parishioner when he was a student pastor. The man was near death. He says, "Do you think you will die, Ralph?" he said rather bluntly. "Yes," the old man replied. He says, "But more important than that, I think you will die too." This kind of stunned Calvin Miller because he was only 20 years old and the elderly man was 78. "As a matter of fact," the old man said, "I'm pretty convinced that everybody who is living is going to die, some sooner, some later. And the only people who will really matter when the dying is done with are those who were good stewards of the time they have lived." Then he asks the young pastor, he says, "Do you know what Psalm 90 verse 12 says?" Calvin Miller kind of shook his head, "No." So the old man recited 90 verse 12. He said, "Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." Then the old man added these words, "There's not a New Year's day that goes by that I don't quote that to myself. Teach us to number our days. Time is passing for all of us. You can't slow it down. You can't make it go backwards. Time is moving forward." There's a story told of a gentleman who overheard a conversation about 1,000 marbles. He says, "Tom, I know life has kept you busy for a while now, but you may end up missing out on the things that really matter if you don't get your priorities right. So an idea struck me one morning When I added up the number of Saturdays an average person who lives to 75 has, I discovered that it was 3,900 Saturdays. Thinking about that, he said, this thought hit me when I was 56 years, meaning I spent 2,912 Saturdays with about 1,000 left if I'm lucky enough to live till 75. So one day I dressed up, headed over to the toy store and bought 1,000 marbles, placed them in a jar, and ever since then I've been taking one away every Saturday. As the marbles diminish, I get to see how short life really is and was forced to get my priorities right. Watching these marbles diminished helped me to see how brief life can be. I know these marbles will eventually all be gone, and for me, every other Saturday that comes after that will be counted as a bonus. Apparently that had made quite an impression on the person hearing the conversation, but you can't help but being a little cynical and think to yourself that time passes when you lose all your marbles. Our new year is going to begin, and we think to ourselves, has my life been wasted? Could I have done more good, and now it's gone? We don't want to live lives like that. We want to live lives where we can look back and say, I did a good thing. I did those things God wanted me to do. I helped others. I loved family and friends. I was there when God needed me. We want to look back and be able to do those things. And part of what Paul is reminding us of in those verses is who we are. He says, but when the set time had fully come, God had sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. We are children of God. That's who we are. And he wants us to remember that we are heirs with God. We are adopted sons and daughters. And that is the greatest thing that we can have, is being adopted by God. Author Jeff Goins compares our situation to Jason Bourne. Some of you may like the Jason Bourne series. I think there was 4 or 5 movies in the series. Jason Bourne really doesn't know who he is. He's been trained as a CIA assassin and programmed to be a super spy. The problem is, in his programming, he has lost all his past memories. He really doesn't know who he is. To paraphrase Jeff Goins, he says, trained and equipped and destined for greatness, but without any idea anymore who he really is. And in the Bourne identity, you see him sitting at a counter in a cafe, and he says, I can tell you the license plate numbers of all 6 cars outside. I can tell you that our waitress is left-handed, and the guy sitting up at the counter weighs 215 pounds and knows how to handle himself. I know the best place to look for a gun is the cab of the gray truck outside, and at this altitude, I can run flat out for 1/2 mile before my hands start shaking. Now, why would I know that? Asked Jason Bourne. How can I know all that and not know who I am? Some of us, even though we haven't been programmed to be a super spy, may not know exactly who we are. We don't have that right at our grasp, who we are. We may have certain skills and talents and wisdom and knowledge, but who are we really deep down inside? Are we living the life that God wants us to live? Are we living meaningless lives? In our society today, we see a lot of people that are living what they feel are meaningless lives. That's why we've seen a rise in suicides. We've seen a rise in narcotics and alcohol abuse. People are searching for who they are. They're searching for having meaning in life. They just don't know who they are. John, in his first epistle, says, dear friends, now we are sons and daughters of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are to remember that we are, among any other thing, is children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. We are Christian people. We have a part of Christ in us, and we are a part of the body of Christ. Author Selena Duncan tells about a Good Friday service that she attended with her grandson, Luca, who was 10 years old and had Down syndrome. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been around people or young people with Down syndrome, but they're neat little people. They may look odd, but they are very intelligent. Some of them don't speak very well. You have to listen very close to what they say, but they are neat little people. And we should see them as God's children, just like anybody else. Well, during this Good Friday service, she says after various people would read scripture or give a devotional, the congregation would sing, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And she says after about the fourth time of them singing this, Luca said, "Jesus, remember Luca Hyde when you come into your kingdom." She says she stopped singing and tears welled up in her eyes. To Luca, it was no longer a song, but the whisper of God speaking to his soul. "Jesus, remember Luca Hyde when you come into your kingdom." Wouldn't it be wonderful if each of us would know that depth of Jesus, that love for us, that he has already received us into his kingdom? Do you know who you are? Are you a child of God? Do you need to remember that we are sons and daughters? Author Steve McVeigh says it another way. He says, we are God's work of art. He says, if you think of Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And he notes that the word workmanship comes from the Greek word poema, which is where we get our word poem. And he says, God has made you to be a heavenly piece of poetry on this earth. That's a pretty neat way of looking at it. We are God's poetry on earth. We are God's workmanship. And God doesn't build anything wrong. Everything that God builds is good. Everything that God does is good. So we are God's workmanship. We are good and should see ourselves that way. We are Christ's brother and sister. We are God's son and daughter. One of the ways that people see us as God's sons and daughters is how we are, who we are. They watch us. They see who we are as Christians. They see how we live our lives. They make judgments of us based on who we are and how we are. It doesn't matter how you are here in church. It matters how you are when you walk out those doors. And if you think about it, every time I close the service, the closing prayer, the last thing I always say is, as you go outside these four walls, let others see Christ in you. And that's important. That is who you are. That is who we are. And that is what people should see. We need to know how other people see us and how they see us living. There's a story about playwright Arthur Miller. He was sitting alone in a bar when he was approached by a very well-dressed man. The man says, "Aren't you Arthur Miller?" He goes, "Yes, I sure am." "Don't you remember me?" asked the man. Arthur Miller says, "Well, your face looks kind of familiar, but no." The man declared, "Why, Art, I'm your old buddy Sam. We went to high school together. We went out on double dates together." Arthur Miller still couldn't quite place him. Sam said, "I guess you can see I've done all right." "What do you do, Art?" Arthur Miller said, "Well, I write." The man said, "What do you write?" "Plays, mostly." "Would I know any of them?" the man asked. Miller responded, "Well, perhaps you've heard of Death of a Salesman." Sam's mouth fell open, his face drained of color. He stood speechless for a moment, and then he cried out, "Why, you're Arthur Miller!" His old friend Sam didn't really know who Arthur Miller was until he knew what Arthur Miller had done with his life. And that's how it is with us. When we see people on the street, or more importantly, people see us, they need to know who we are by how we are, what we've done, the things we've done for others, our community service, the help that we give people at Christmas, the help we give people throughout the year, the mission, the soup kitchen, all those things. People see us through those things. That's how we live. And wouldn't it be great if people would approach us and, like Sam, when his mouth fell open, say, "Why, you're a son or daughter of God." That's important, how people see us. So as we say goodbye to 2017, we welcome in the year of our Lord, 2018. I don't think they use that term much anymore. It used to be a big thing, the year of our Lord, just like they've changed AD and BC to something that is very generic, before the common era, not before Christ, and after the common era. They've changed all that. Society has changed all that. But I want to say we are entering the year of our Lord, 2018. And we need to be reminded how quickly time passes in our lives. And it's funny how the older or more mature you get, the faster it goes. But that's just life. You can't stop it. You can't turn it back. You have to live your life the way God wants you to live your life. You have to be the person that the Holy Spirit has made you. You have to be a person that people see you and see, that's a Christian. That's a good person. Everything happens in due time, at the right time, when God knows that's the perfect time. Time passes on. We move through life. But as we move through life and we realize that time passes on, we want to be able to look back and know that we did good. We were good ambassadors to God. We were good Christians, making a good use of our days. It's good to be reminded who we are. We are children of God. And hopefully people can look at you and just automatically know that you are a child of God just by seeing you and how you live. And that's important as we begin a new year, which is a new beginning. Today starts the rest of your life, the old quote. But it's really true. How you are from today forward matters. How you are perceived in 2018 as to who you are, what you do, what you accomplish, those things that you attempt and maybe don't accomplish, at least you tried. We are here to be ambassadors for God. We are here to bring people to Christ. And in 2018, I hope that we can bring more people to Christ. Our society is in crisis. We are falling away from God more and more and faster. And we need to stop the bleeding. We need to bring people back to Christ. We need to show them that love and that mercy that we know. Show them that it's about coming to church for Christ. It's not about putting people in the pews. It's not about how much we put in the offering plate. It's about bringing people to Christ. It's about showing people Christ's love, letting them know that they are welcome here. They are loved here. Anybody that comes through that door is welcome here. And I don't care whether you're wearing a suit, whether you're in overalls, whatever, as long as you are decently covered, you are welcome to come through that door. And we shouldn't be inviting everybody and anybody to come through those doors. You got to get them through the doors to show them the true love of Christ. Show them how we are as a people, as the body of Christ. And that's what it's all about. Time passing and knowing who we are and how we are. Amen.